UTIA. Hakan Ute. Keosu. Makia. No taika. UTIA.
Why are you talking to that horse? Why am I covered in dirt?
I buried you.
Why am I alive?
Eight men rode into canyon. I dug seven graves. Horse says you are a spirit walker. A man who has been to the other side and returned. A man who cannot be killed in battle. Something very wrong with that horse.
If we ride together, we ride for justice.
Justice is what I seek, Kimosabe. People think you are dead. Better to stay that way.
You want me to wear a mask?
There'll come a time when good men must wear masks.
All right. Let's do this.
I just want to say this. At the end of this message tonight, I'm going to speak with some candor that may be very offensive, especially if you have a young child that, you know, you forget that this is really designed for adults. So I want to give you a chance right now to take them someplace else. But I think you'll see in the context of this message, it's actually very appropriate. But it also is very defining on what type of church we want to be. So you also, it's a fair thing that if you're a real churchy person who's easily offended when preachers don't measure up to our expectations, then I might not meet your expectations tonight at the end of this. So just fair deal there. My favorite quote about the Lone Ranger goes back many, many years. I love this quote. I don't know who said this, but somebody once said that there are some people so sophisticated that they can hear the William Tell Overture and not even think about the Lone Ranger. Isn't that great? Does everybody know what the William Tell Overture is? It's the Lone, you know, it is the Lone Ranger theme. And I don't know about you, but I'm not one of those people. As a kid, I loved the old reruns that used to replay in Columbus, the Columbus area where I grew up, of Clayton Moore and Jay Silverheels as the Lone Ranger and Tonto, and, you know, loved that old Western genre. And so I was excited to see this reimagining of the Lone Ranger. And I like Johnny Depp. I like Armie Hammer, who plays the Lone Ranger. And I got to tell you, it was refreshing to see a movie in the summer where the planet Earth is not under attack the last 20 minutes of the movie. That was kind of refreshing. If you like Johnny Depp weirdness, you'll like this movie because it's up on display. And I will say this, the Monument Valley scenery is incredible, a la the old John Ford Westerns. Anybody used to be a fan of John Ford Westerns, you'll like the imagery, the scenery. But, yeah, I don't mean to sound like some pseudo-sophisticated movie reviewer who likes to say bad things about movies, but I did not enjoy this movie. It didn't meet my expectations, and I typically am not that way. I'm very easy to please when it comes to this kind of medium, but I just did not enjoy it. I agree with Tim Esteles of the Boston Examiner, his review of this movie. He said, Johnny Depp's patented character eccentricities have jumped the shark into annoyingly repetitive Native American buffoonery. Armie Hammer presents a bland and imbalanced performance as the Lone Ranger, swinging between cartoonish Dudley Do-Right ineptitude and seriously earnest heroism seeking justice. The narrative of the Lone Ranger veers back and forth like a pendulum between comic absurdity and parody of the Western genre to moments of grave seriousness and violence. And I thought he captured that pretty well. I was like, that's the way it was. And I, to be quite honest, I wouldn't recommend this movie to anyone. But even that stands as the point of this series. We're using the idea of 2 Corinthians 10 when it says that we take captive everything, every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. In other words, we view the world through the filter of where does Christ speak into this. And in this case, there are things, like most things about this movie, that are strongly, deeply redemptive and something to learn from. For the movie, especially for my purposes, Wednesday after I saw it, I went a totally different direction than what I planned on going, because the movie begins with a little boy in 1933 wearing a mask. The movie is a statement, in my view, about mask wearing. Now, we all know that the Lone Ranger wears a mask. The irony of that mask here is there is no way that it would keep people from knowing who that was. But the twist in this movie, if you see it someday for $3, you rent it. The twist in this movie is that unlike previous iterations of the Lone Ranger, in this movie, Tonto wears a mask. Tonto wears a mask. This picture that you see of him, it comes out of when John Reed, the Lone Ranger, meets with this savage with the bird on his head. They don't like each other at all. And he meets him, and this is what he looks like. And Tonto wishes he had been teamed with John Reed's brother, Dan, who is a legitimate Texas Ranger. He lives courageously fighting injustice and outlaws, and not this wimpy lawyer that John Reed actually is. And so they don't like each other. But they become bonded through a shared experience of each have shared in the injustice of deep, deep wounds, loved ones taken through violence. And Tonto's mask symbolizes his shame. You see, he was rejected by the Cheyenne people because he once sold out his tribe because he was drawn to a pocket watch that some white men had. And he would tell them where he found this silver with a rock with silver in it. They would give him this pocket watch that as a little boy he was enamored by. And that led to the slaughter of his people because once those men found the treasure, they didn't want that information to get out. And so his mask is his shame. The Lone Ranger is about the mask. We're told many times in this movie, he's told, don't ever take off the mask. As you saw in that trailer, even good men sometimes have to wear masks. The twist is that Tonto wears a mask too. Ann Morrow Lindbergh once said this, the most exhausting thing in life is insincerity. She said, that's why so much social life is exhausting. One is wearing a mask. One time, while shopping in public, the actor Robert Redford had a woman look at him and say, are you Robert Redford? And he said, only when I'm alone. Only when I'm alone. It is so exhausting to always be wearing a mask, isn't it? To never ever really be able to be yourself. Maybe you're here tonight and you're feeling those effects. I have bad news for you. One of the greatest, most dangerous mask-wearing places you can sit is where you're sitting right now. Because you see, religious groups are some of the most notorious for mask wearing. There's something about the longer you're in a church, the more likely you are to wear a mask. Isn't that sad? As if this world needs more mask wearing. So we make more churches that just almost encourage people, just stop cussing and you'll be good. When underneath there's still a heart that just is angry to the core. And religious settings have this incredible propensity to produce masks. We all fight it. I do, you do. And one of my prayers every day is, God, don't let me be inauthentic. Don't let me just say things because that's what a preacher's supposed to say. Don't let me just do things because that's what a preacher's supposed to say. You know, do you ever tell someone, hey, I'll pray for you, and then you forget? But it just sounded like the right thing to do. That's why if you ever tell someone, I'm going to pray for you, do it right there, right then, right now, because that way you're just not a religious plasticity. And our world, I believe, has synthetic fatigue. It's one of the reasons that it's so angry at Christianity and the church is the world looks at us and goes, why would I want to be a part of that? It's just more plastic stuff and people. And just as last week, I led you to the Old Testament and someone who became a spiritual hero because she overcame her fear. I want to lead you tonight to the Old Testament because there's one of our greatest heroes in our faith. Do you know he wore a mask one time? He wore a mask because he was ashamed. Look at these words in Exodus chapter 34. If you have your own Bible, it's the second book in the Bible. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments we call it, the tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Mine's radiant because I play tennis four times a week. His was radiant because he had been with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. And that's, we love, you know, spiritual leaders, we love it when people, I'm afraid to come near you. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commands of the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And oh, we love Moses. He shines. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. You see, this is mask wearing. This is image managing. And we're fortunate that in the New Testament, we're given God-inspired commentary on what Moses did there. These are words thousands of years later, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the Apostle Paul wrote, look at these, in this image-managing community in Corinth. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Paul says, since you have this assurance of the very first song we sang about tonight, I cannot tell you how truthful those words are that we sang tonight. Can you go back and remember them? Your love never fails and never gives up and never gives up on me. The truth of that is so real. I was telling a friend out there earlier tonight, we were talking about this. I said, I just want the whole world to know about this love that I have become to experience. That it allows you to live with such freedom. You don't have to be so prone to image managing. You can live with an unveiled face, he says, because we have this hope that Jesus Christ has established God's unconditional love for us. He's paid the price for anything that would keep us from him and keep us from being free people who feel like they have to image manage. No. He says this. Then verse 14, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. What tends to happen is that the old covenant, the law was given to show us none of us measures up. Do you know that the Ten Commandments were not given to make us better? Do you know that? The Bible couldn't be clearer on this. They were given to show us we don't measure up. None of us do. There's not an A-plus group and an A-minus group. We're all failures when it comes to this. And so it makes our minds dull. And so when that covenant is read, we tend to just put on masks because we all know, man, we don't measure up. But we think we're unique and we're the only one that doesn't measure up, especially when everybody looks so good. Right? It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. The mask. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, say this with me, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, what is there? Freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Not us, not because, hey, look at me, I memorized Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you know. I go to church three times a week, look at me. No, it's not us, it's God reflecting His glory. That's why one of the greatest things you can pray is, God, may Your glory enter every strand of my DNA and my matter. Because I want to reflect Your glory, not mine. And so, I mean, when I saw this movie Wednesday, I went in a totally different direction. I was going to go on the idea that there are two are better than one. One falls down, the other's there to pick them up. Ecclesiastes 4. And we saw this, and Sherry and I were talking, and this is about mass. Tonto, this time, has a mask because he has shame. What about you? What is your mask? Superficial conversation covers you, sarcastic humor, intelligence, shyness, ignorance, busyness, success, stoicism, religious talk, pseudo-spirituality, hyper-spirituality. Sometimes people's masks are carrying a Bible around. If you're not sure, ask people close to you who you trust. I bet they would tell you if you really, truly let them, you take off your mask and you say, would you tell me what it is that I need to take, what it is that keeps me from living free? And the scriptures are telling us that this new covenant is such, and this is why our recovery ministry is the core of our church, because that's where the place where masks go to die and fall to the ground. Recovery people, am I not telling the truth here? That's why you're the core of our church, because the tendency of this environment will be mask wearing. And it's our recovery ministry that keeps us anchored in, oh gosh, this world doesn't need more mask wearing institutions, does it? Do we really need another place where people go to be fake? In John Ortberg's brilliant book, Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, this is the title. This is a great title. He says, what is physical makeup all about? It's about mask, about appearance management. It's about people trying to manage how they appear to other people. So he says, for instance, if you use makeup, you may have a blemish, an unsightly blemish, and you don't want other people to see it. And if you use makeup artfully enough, no one will know it's there. You may have blotchy skin, but if you put the right kind of foundation, whatever it is you do for that sort of thing, you make it look like you have a peaches and cream complexion. You may have wrinkles. No worry. If you use enough makeup, you can pour layers of cement into those cracks in your sidewalk. Asphalt poured into those potholes. And it'll begin to look like a smooth, crevice-free surface. You can hiss all you want, ladies, but this is the absolute truth. And actually, this is not the offensive part, okay? I'm not there yet. You may have beady little eyes, he said, but if you learn how to craft makeup carefully, it can highlight your eyes and make it look like you have big, beautiful eyes. The truth is, you still have beady little eyes. And here's the deal. You start using makeup, and after a while, you just rely on it. You come to depend on it. In fact, we have a phrase about that. People don't say, I'm going to go put on my makeup. I'm going to go put on my face. Oh, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Do you remember, those of you who are in long-term relationships, you've been married, whatever, do you remember the first time? No makeup? Huh? I do. Sherry and I have been married 3 years, and I finally saw her without makeup. It was three. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't 3 years. But it's a big deal when in a relationship, no makeup day. No makeup day. I remember in college, if you were as old as I am back in the day, we used to have these pillowhead days. Now it's the norm. Every day is the pillowhead day. We used to have these pillowhead days where, you know, you didn't brush your teeth, you didn't wash your face, you didn't do anything. You just came in your pajamas to classes that day. What if we said next weekend we're going to have a pillowhead day at Southbrook? It goes beyond our Easter pajama party. It goes into no makeup, nothing. The services would have a strongly male element to it, don't you think? What's your mask? I think it's wonderful that we use makeup. Okay, I'm not. The old preacher Billy Sunday was asked one time, is it okay for women to wear makeup? And he said, hey, if a barn needs painted, paint it. You know, whatever. I didn't say that. He said that a long time ago. And he's dead now, okay? You see, the point of it is we don't just wear physical makeup, do we? We have moral blemishes. We have character blotches. We have beady little souls. And we don't want people to see that. We want to appear more sophisticated. We want to be the spiritual equivalent of someone who can hear the William Tell Overture and not think of the Lone Ranger. And the longer you're in church, the more that temptation will be there. Some questions. Do you, like me, find yourself working hard and subtly to manage what other people think of you? You know, somebody calls at 5 in the morning and you up? I'm reading the Bible. Just up, reading the Bible. Or, you know, you say things like, the other night on TV, and I don't watch TV very much, but the other night on TV, or a student says, I didn't study very much for that exam. It's all that just subtle ways that we put on masks. Do you find yourself telling stories that make you sound smarter or stronger or more successful or together than you really are? Because it's makeup. It's mask wearing. And I don't know about you, but I want to live not in the old covenant, but in the new covenant. And there are a lot of places in churches where churches are filled with old covenant. Since we don't measure up, and since I think I'm the only one who really doesn't measure up, and since if they knew the real truth about me, I'm going to wear a mask. But have you noticed how much we're attracted to people with unveiled faces? You ever noticed that? Just keep an eye on it this week. How attractive people are who live in the freedom. It's one of the reasons we love kids is to a certain point, kids haven't learned that yet, right? That's one of the things we just love about kids is they're just unmasked. They don't care. And then they learn how to wear masks. And if that's you, I want you to know that what people really find attractive is the very same thing that Jesus wants for you. He loves you so much, he wants you to live in the freedom of an unveiled face. Now, if you don't do this, here's the problem. As long as you're in deep relationship with somebody and you're hiding hidden blemishes and blotchy souls and all that stuff, there's a piece of your mind that when they say, hey, I love you for who you are, the piece of your mind will say, no, you don't. Because you don't know. That's the problem. You'll never be an authentic community because whenever they say they accept you for who you are, you'll say yes in your mind. But if they knew the whole truth about me, if they knew that this is what I've done, who I really am, they wouldn't love me like this. They wouldn't accept me like this. And so there's no reason what Scott Peck called, there's all this pseudo community going around. And it's the reason is because as long as we're there, these ridiculous masks that really can't hide us anyway, eventually it shows, doesn't it? There's no into me see because they can't see what is masked. Look at somebody sitting next to you right now. Okay, so just like look to your right or to your left. And it's real uncomfortable. Don't look very long, okay? Just don't look very long. That person that you were looking at, as I see it, looks like a pretty respectable person. I'm sure there are exceptions in this room, but looks like a pretty respectable person. They've got their life pretty much together. And that person probably, because we all put on our faces because before we come here, looks like their life is pretty much under control. We don't come here with our driver's license picture. We come here with our glamour shots picture, don't we? I mean, that's what we do. And they look like they haven't deviated off the path too far. They're a church person. Let me tell you the truth about that person you just looked at. The true story of the person that you're sitting next to is that person has thought things and said things and done things that would blow you right out of your sweet little padded church chair if you knew about it. And you would be shocked and appalled if you knew the truth about them like God does and like I do. I have files on you people. No, I don't. Here are these barriers that we have. One of the barriers to this is fear. They might not accept me. Pride. I want people to think I have it together more than I actually do. Independence. I want to show people I don't need anyone. And priority. I just don't have the time. This is not a priority for me to be in genuine relationship with an unveiled face with God and others. So it's not that important. And if that's the case, then this message probably doesn't mean much to you, but I feel sorry for you. Because you're missing out on what you were made for. Because you have to be willing to humble yourself and commit years to relationships that over time allow you to just take off the mask. Just take it off. And one of my prayers for this church is that we'd be that kind of place. We fight it every day. And I'm a part of the problem as much as you are. But that this place would be a place where we can just take off our mask and say, my name is blank and I am a blank. I'm here because I want to take off my veil. And I want to tell this to you right now. This is not the place to do that for the most part. So if you think, great, this is going to be a place where we come and on Saturday night we take off our masks, we get really, this is a social setting. It's not going to happen here. This is a doorway. That's all it is. It's an entry point. This is not an appropriate place for us to really take off our masks, to be quite honest. It's not really a safe environment to that level 5 communication. But this is a doorway where you can begin building relationships and you can begin learning about in marriage what it means to take off your mask and realize that you were designed to go through this journey in an authentic relationship with God and others. That we were not built for pseudo community. It wears us out. That's what it does. One of the reasons that we're so exhausted is that every day it is very the mask just gets heavier. And at a certain point they need surgery to be taken off of us. They're just so much a part of us. And some of us say, I just don't want that. And oh man, I just here's what's cool about this movie. The Lone Ranger and Tonto become bonded not by their stars, but by their scars. Is that cool or what? And what bonds us is not our resumes. It's our regrets. It's not our stars, it's our scars. That's what bonds us. Just let me speak frankly. I was an All-American basketball player in college. Is that why I thought that's what God's going to use? Yay, God's going to use me. I was a basketball player. God doesn't use that at all, really. What he uses is that I was from a shame-based environment, and I know what it's like. It's the reason why I'm in Dayton, Ohio, because I knew what it was like to literally not measure up. For 20 years, I struggled with depression every single day of my life, and I'll probably never be free of it. What really bonds me with this church is that we're the same, right? Amen? Am I telling the truth? I'm not the only one, right? I'm not the only one. That's right. listen to these words. I love these words. My good friend Mark reminded me of these words from a writer named Bruce Larson. Listen to this. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is for the community Christ wants to give his church and the people of this world. It's an imitation, dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, accepting, inclusive fellowship. You want to go where everybody knows your name. It is, and if you forget everything I said tonight, remember this. And I don't think you're going to forget everything I say tonight here in a minute. But if you do, he says this, it is unshockable. Isn't that good? It is democratic. You can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. And he's so right. And if this is not a place where people can take off their masks, or at least find those places, where are people going to go? other than a bar. So, now to the unshockable part. Mark Atherton is a pastor at Xenia Nazarene Church, and he and I are very good friends. And I've helped him; he's helped me, and it's so wonderful to have a friend like he is. And a few months ago, they do what we do. So every once in a while, they'll give these strong altar calls like we do, and say, "Come to the corner, or go to Southbrook Central. We're going to lead you every step of the way." And they had one of their weekends, and the guy came up to their corner. And he came up, and Mark said, this one guy was just so broken. This is after the service. And Mark said, "Friend, why are you here? Why did you come up?" And the guy looked at him and said, "I'm just tired of all my shit." That's what he said. Now, I've had that happen here, okay, many times, except the F word is usually what's used. I'm all effed up. You know, that's what people usually say. So he said that, and a few weeks later, he tells this story at his Nazarene church. And I don't know if you've ever been in a Nazarene church, okay? It's not our church, all right? And Mark tells this, and he doesn't use crap, and he doesn't use stuff. He says that the guy said, "I'm just tired of all my shit." And so he tells this, and then he says this to his church. He said, "If right now you're more upset about the fact that I just said the word shit in church, and I'm not supposed to, then you are about the soul of that guy being lost. There's something wrong with you. And you don't understand what the church is to be about." That's what he said. And he stopped, he prayed, and it was over. That week, he got a phone call from a woman in his church. And this is my favorite part of the story. And the woman calls, and she said she and her mom, elderly mother, are members at Xenia Nazarene. And she said, "You know, I had mom there with me, you know, and we went out to lunch at the Golden Nugget or something afterward. And we're sitting there with the menus, and it's quiet. Mom had obviously been thinking." And out of the blue, she goes, "Did the pastor say shit in church today?" I just love that. I just love that. Just love that. Is anybody here tired of your mask? Don't you want a place without masks? We'll never reach that fully. Because it's church, and we'll always battle it, okay? But I'm glad I'm a part of a place where I can say shit. And you understand what I'm trying to do, is it's got to be an unshockable place for that guy, right? And by the way, I know you say that word anyway, okay? So you're not fooling me anyway, all right? I don't, but you do, all right? Now, here's the deal on this. Here's the deal on this. Is I'm gonna be gone for a number of weeks on my break. I would love to come back. And there was a bunch of makeup that washed off in the baptistry. I would love nothing more than to come back. And a bunch of us lost our mask in the place of authenticity, where we say, I'm a broken sinner, and I need Jesus' grace and his love that never fails. And I stand before you today to be washed in Christ. I would love, 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 love to hear that. We'll see. Let's pray. Father, may this be a place more, 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 more of unveiled faces. Not of those of the old covenant. It's all about measuring up and being good enough, but of the new covenant. You are making all things new. I look out over this congregation tonight and I see lives that you took and you washed away the mask. And it's just a really neat thing to have my seat and see that. But I know you have children here tonight that you're just waiting for them to come into your presence right now and take off their veil. Just come, because as 1 John tells us, that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that even when our hearts condemn us, you know our hearts, you know everything. You know everything. And you still love us. So as we go tonight, we come to the table of masklessness. We come to the table of brokenness, and we're just tired. Just tired of all our stuff. And we just thank you that we come and we can live in freedom. No longer image managing. And it's because of Jesus. He showed us how to do it. He showed us, he showed us. So whosoever will, may you come now as I invite you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you in a few weeks.